In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of questions today, brothers and sisters. You've got to answer every question. If it's in the Scripture, you got to answer it. If it's a question, it's a question addressed to you. It might seem like it's addressed to somebody else. It might seem that it's a hypothetical question. It's not. Every question you must answer. There's lots of questions today. The Lord is teaching about the meaning of life, the purpose of life. And so he asks a lot of questions. He says, is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? That's an important question to answer. Now, we would all say, well, of course, there's more to life than just what you eat or what you wear or the job you have or your athletic ability or whether you're pretty or intelligent or successful in business. We would all say those things. But the proof is in how we live, whether we believe those things. This question has a deeper question that is a subtext, and that is, what is life? Is life more than meat and raiment? Yeah, it is. Well, then what is it? What is life? What is the purpose of life? So perhaps this would be the first. This is generally the first thing that I say to someone who wants to come to the church. This is kind of the first catechetical lecture, as it were. What is life? To know what life is, you have to know who God is, because God is life. All things exist because of God. Everything that is good comes down from the Father of lights. Without God, there would be no existence of anything that is created. So life is to be in God. Life is defined in John, where the Lord is praying, as to know God. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So life is to know God. You can't know God just by the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the education you have, the things that you do. That is not life. Life is to be in God, to know Him, to be united with Him. That's life. Anything else is death. It's really binary. Anything that is with God is life. Anything that is outside of God is death. So when we sin, we participate in death. When we have dark thoughts, judgmental thoughts, we are participating in death, the stench of death. It's as simple as that. Life is to be in Christ, to know God intimately, to be in union with Him. Now, the Lord gives two ideas before he gives this question, how we can discern this answer, the proper answer, the deeper answer. And the deeper answer is not just defining that life is to know God. The deeper answer is to live according to this knowledge, that this would be our purpose and our whole direction in life, to know God, to know Him intimately, to have union with Him. The Lord says at the beginning of this selection, the light of the body is the eye. Then he goes on to say a few more things about the eye. If your eye is sound, your body is full of light. If your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. That's death. So what does the eye represent here? With the eye we see, and then we desire. But you can train your eye to look at things that are good, or to look at things that are bad. So the eye is representing the desire of the soul. We are built to have desire. The soul has the property of desiring things. Because God desires, and we are made like God. We are made in His image and after His likeness. Therefore, we have that desire. God has implanted in us desire, the ability to desire. This is part of our nature, to desire. And it is also part of our nature to desire good things, those things of God. So the light will be in us if we desire God. And the eye here is representing that ability of the soul, God-given, because we are made in His image, to desire. It is good to desire, if we desire good things. Now, this is the reason why desire is part of the soul. The human soul is because we are made in God's image. Right at the beginning in Genesis, we are given the meaning, the purpose of life, and what it means to be a human being. When God says, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness," we are made in the image of God, which means we are like Him. He has given us of His properties. To desire is a manifest property of God. And to know is a property of God, so we also have the ability to have knowledge of deep and holy things. Now, if we use this knowledge, this ability to know, and this desire to follow good things, then we will have life. Our eye will be full of light, as the Lord puts it. If we use it to follow bad things, then our eye will be full of darkness. If we use it to sometimes follow good and sometimes follow bad, then we will be in a confused state, which is really the way we are. Let's be honest. We do good, we do bad. Sometimes in the same moment, sometimes in the same thought, certainly in the same day. And why is this? Because we are, as St. James says, a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The Lord is referring to this double-minded man when he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other." Then he says, "You cannot serve God and mammon," but this is not an indictment only of money. This is an indictment of desiring things that are not God. It's not just money he's talking about here. Money is a great indicator of what we desire, but it's not the only indicator. You cannot serve God and not God. It's not possible. Now, if you understand the reason for your creation and how you are fearfully and wonderfully made, then that will help you when there are times when you feel like sinning. Or maybe you don't feel like sinning, but you see yourself sinning. To remember what you are created for. You're created for life. You're created for light. You're created to have union with God. You're created to have His likeness shining brightly in you, wiping out anything that is dark. Anything that is dead, to be all alive. Right now, none of us are all alive. Biologically, we're alive, but we're not all alive. We're not 100% alive, because we also participate in death with sin. But God made us to be completely alive. We have to understand this and live according to this. This will save you from sin more than anything else. Is to understand your purpose and to rejoice in it. To be full of desire to follow after the commandments. And by the way, this is why there are commandments. In our day and age now, commandments are considered to be something where a person is just a little bit too strict or unloving or fundamentalist or right-wing or whatever slur people want to say about a person who actually has the audacity to follow the commandments, especially the sexual commandments. The reason for them, every single one of them, is because to do the things that they command or to not do the things that they forbid is to be like God. And the whole purpose of our creation is to be with God. And God will only be present in that which is like Him. We cannot have union with Him if we are not like Him. That is the reason for the commandments. Not because they're arbitrary rules, but they are the way of life. Now, if you look at the commandments that way, it's a lot easier to follow them. You have to always understand what is life. Life is to be united with God, to be perfected, to have the image of God within you burnished to such a brilliant shine that the uncreated light of God flows within you, and that you are wholly a creature of grace and of knowledge and of purity and holiness. That's what life is. Now, how do you accomplish this life? The Lord gives us another question which will help us to understand how to accomplish this life. By the way, nothing else is life. Life is only to be in Christ. There is no other life. Anything else that appears to be life is not life. It is death. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He introduces this idea of thought. Thought is something that God possesses. And therefore, He in His love for us gives us thought. We think, unlike the animals, they have a certain reason, but not a reason that can reach to the knowledge of God. Only we can have that. So we have the gift of thought. But thought is something that can be used or abused. Every problem in your life, every single one, is because of how you think. It's not the stuff that happens to you that's the problem. It's not the stuff that you do that's the problem. It's the thoughts that you have that precede what you do and follow what you do or what happens to you. It's always that way. So we must train our thoughts to only think of spiritual things. St. Paul talks about that in Colossians. Whatever good is good, whatever is holy, think on these things. You must train your thought to think of godly things, to live in a godly way. And yes, that means following the commandments, all of them. And that means praying. It also means fasting. Not because fasting is one of the 11th commandment or anything, but because without fasting, we cannot control our thoughts. It's a very rare person that can control their thoughts and not fast. Very rare. And that is why the church has us fast. Because it's needful for us, just as much as it's needful for us to drink water and to eat food and to have sleep. And all of it, the prayers, the fasting, the receiving communion, the confession, the reading scriptures, all of it is so that you can think in the right way. To have your thoughts fixed on God. And not on the world. And not on your problems. And not on the stuff that makes you mad. And not on your jealousies. And not on desires that you have that are illicit. But only on God. You must learn to control your thoughts. Now the Lord frames it in this question saying, which one of you can think something and add anything to your height? Well, everybody knows you can't think yourself taller. Neither can you think yourself anything that is alive unless it is about God. Because everything else is death. So we should live in a very simple way. The things that are of God, we should do. The things that are not of God, we should not do. Now, that begs the question, how do you know what's of God? How do you know what's not of God? Well, God teaches you. That's why you should know the Bible a whole lot better than TV Guide. That's why you should pray more than you play games. That is why you should fast. That is why you should come to the church on a regular basis, not just on Sunday morning, but whenever you can, because everything that the church does helps us to funnel our thoughts, to control our thoughts, to be thinking of God. Now, this is not anything that is legalistic or controlling. You must be the one who desires to think of God. Nobody else can make you do it. Nobody else will make you do it. God will not make you do it. You must desire to think of God. And you must desire to serve only one master. There is God and there is not God. Anything else, any other master is not God. Whether it be money or prestige or ambition or entertainments, everything else is not God. You must follow God. That's all. That's the purpose of life, to know God. He frames it in these questions. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And which of you, by adding one thought, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? But the deep theology that is being taught by our Lord here is that the purpose of your life is union with Him. And you cannot have union with Him if you want to have union with anything else. That's what's being taught here. May God help us to understand this teaching, to live according to this teaching. It's a glorious thing to be a human being. We're not all human yet. Or should I rephrase that? None of us are all human yet. Not yet. Because the perfect human being is the God-man Jesus Christ. And we are to obtain to that, to attain it. And we're becoming human, bit by bit. It's kind of exciting. I don't think there's anything more exciting in the entire universe than that our flesh, which is not anything like God, nothing like Him at all, is going to become holy and united with God. But we must do our part. Let your eye desire the things of God. Only serve God, nothing else. And every moment of your life, be answering the question, is not life worth more than whatever you are presented with? Whatever you're dealing with, there is a right way and a wrong way, always. And remember that it always begins with thought. Think of the things of God, desire the things of God, know what life is and what it is not, and God will help you to obtain to eternal life. May God bless us. And help us in all things. Amen.